I'd like to do at this time is to introduce myself. My name is John Gorder, and it's a privilege to be with you all. Barb and I are here from New Holland, South Dakota. And to New Holland, South Dakota is 2 hours west of Sioux Falls. And I grew up on farms, generally on farms, and in the town of Edgerton, Minnesota. And that's where I went to most of my schooling, went to Dort College for 4 years. And for most of that time, I was married and went to seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, to Reformed Theological Seminary. And that's where our son Doug was born. He and his wife live in Indiana, and they have 4 children. And then we moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan for a year at Calvin Seminary. And then I had a year's internship in Escondido, California. And that's where our daughter Teresa was born, present with us today. And then our first church was Wellsburg, Iowa, north central Iowa. And that's where our daughter Valerie was born. By the way, our daughter Teresa, she and her husband have 2 sons. And our daughter Valerie, she and her husband live in Sioux Falls, and they have a cat and a dog. And they are like grandchildren. And then we, our first church was Wellsburg, Iowa. Our second church was Calvary CRC of Pella. Our third church was Second CRC of Byron Center. Our fourth church was Peoria, Iowa. Yes, there is a Peoria, Iowa. And then our fifth church now is in New Holland. We enjoy it there very much. And it's a privilege for us to be here as well. And I was, when I was asked to lead the service today, it was mentioned to me that we were going to celebrate communion. And I looked on the calendar and it was Mother's Day. And I thought, okay, communion and Mother's Day, putting those together. Well, the passage we're going to look at today is what I selected for that. There's an outline in the back of the order of worship. I invite you to look at that if you would want to. And our passage will be taken from John 19. And if you want to follow along with that in your Bibles, that's on page 1684. Page 1684. And I won't read that entire passage. I'll just refer to the verses there as they come. Now, I've noticed this happens in our church too, that when we're all coming together, we're all dressed fairly decent, and we say, hello, how are you, good morning, etc., all the pleasantries. Most of us remembered mothers on our Mother's Day, said happy Mother's Day, and everything's polite and nice and kind. And yes, even our grandson said please and thank you this morning. By the way, if I have a haggard look, it's because I'm with a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old grandchildren right now. Okay, everything is nice until you get excruciating pain. Say your appendix ruptured right now. I think most of the pleasantries would disappear. The real us would come out when experiencing excruciating pain. We're going to be looking at Jesus on the cross, literally excruciating pain. The real him comes out. And what are we going to see? Well, before we look at Jesus on the cross, let's see the people that are around the cross. And there are a number of people. Of course, there are the soldiers. It's their job to crucify him. I think that may be the blank there. To crucify him, it's their duty. And it's believed there's about 4, perhaps more, but at least 4 right around the cross there. And they are going through the routine. And it was common for them just to take whatever the criminals had that are being crucified, just to take their clothes, whatever it may be, and just divvy it out among themselves. And they do so. And you'll see there in verse 23 that they're doing that. In verse 23, they're divvying out the clothes. And the last item is called the chiton. That CH there, you clear your throat as the first consonant. The chiton. That'll be important, and we'll see why later on. Then there's also somebody, a number of other people around the cross that are called attention to here in this passage, verse 25. We see there Jesus' mother. Mary is her name. And what's it like for her? I wouldn't know, and I hope I never have to know. The anguish, and that's the blank there, the anguish of seeing your son dying like that. And this is exactly what Simeon said to her when Jesus was just a little baby, Luke 2, verse 35, a sword will pierce your soul. I don't know what that's like, but if you've ever had a child die, you know what it's like. My mom lost two husbands, my dad and then a stepfather. And then when my brother, Randy, died a number of years later, she grieved a different kind of grief. And she said it was more painful to lose Randy than her husband's, probably because it was more immediate. But also, it's her own flesh and blood. Mary's at the cross, seeing her own flesh and blood suffering, and a mother just wants to take that pain on herself, and she can't. That's Mary. There are other women around the cross as well, and Mary seems to be a pretty common name that we see here in verse 25. Most of them probably, well, they're very good friends of Jesus, but they probably accompanied Jesus and his disciples on wherever they traveled, maybe making meals for him, doing his laundry. They took care of Jesus. These are the others, just sobbing, crying. All they can do is watch. Somebody else that's noteworthy in this passage, and that is the first part of verse 26. Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. And we know that this is John, the author of this gospel. John had a special relationship with Jesus. Jesus had a number of friends, close friends. John was probably the closest, kind of a buddy, somebody that you could talk to that you can't talk with. Just a special kind of relationship. That's John. Okay. These are all the people around the cross. Now we'll see what happens. And in order to make sense of what's happening now, we need to go back to verse 23, the last part of verse 23 into verse 24, going back to the chiton. It's translated as an undergarment, and I suppose that's the best translation. But it says, this garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another, the soldiers, that is. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This is a very special piece of cloth. It was, you and I, if we were to look at it, we would call it a nightgown. That's the way it looks. It's kind of a light piece of garment that's short-sleeved, and it goes from the neck down to just above the above your knees. That they kind of wear it like similar to what many of us wear as an undershirt. And it was very, very important. The reason was that every mother at that time and place had this tradition. As a farewell gift for her son, when he leaves to get married, when he or goes off on his own career, the mother will make a chiton for him, something he will wear as an undergarment. A very special kind of material. You get the best that you can afford, maybe even linen. And this is something the son, when he leaves the home, receives it as a gift from his mom. He'll remember his mother the rest of his life every time he puts it on. In fact, he'll probably be buried with it. This is the chiton. Mary is watching. What are they going to do
with a chiton, the gift I gave to my son when he went off on his own. Can you imagine her thoughts, thinking, I hope they don't tear it and rip it up? And thankfully, they don't. And while she's looking very carefully, we see in the first part of verse 26 again, when Jesus saw his mother there. What probably happened was that Jesus saw the soldiers doing the lots for who's going to get this chiton. I don't know what kind of lots they use, maybe throwing some kind of dice or something like that. And this first word in verse 26, actually in the original, is therefore. Therefore. What's the connection? Soldiers are gambling away the chiton. Jesus sees that. Therefore, he thinks of his mother. And he looks for her. And he sees her. And she may have looked at him. And their eyes lock. Then Jesus suddenly remembers. He has to do something now. You see, the question now is, who's going to take care of her? She's a widow. And this responsibility belongs to the oldest son. Common in many cultures that this be the expectation. A number of years, Barb and I were in Dallas, Texas, visiting a Korean pastor and his wife. And one of the things he agonized with was this. They had moved to the United States from Korea because he had two daughters, and they wanted their daughters to have the best education. Of course, in many places, a university degree in the United States is the place to get an education. And the best way to make sure your daughters go to a university is you become a resident of the United States. And that's what they did. But back in Korea, the rest of his family stayed, his parents, and he had one sister there. The difficulty for him was this. His sister could take care of their parents, but his parents reminded him regularly, you're the oldest son. You need to take care of us while we get older. That's what the oldest son does. And he had to deal with that, being torn with being in the United States and being in Korea to take care of. He went back as often as he could. That was what the oldest son did. Jesus on the cross feels that weight right now. And he's looking at his mother. She needs to be taken care of. So as we continue reading in verse 26 and into verse 27, he sees his mother there. He sees John, the disciple whom he loves, standing real close by her. And he says to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. He's saying, Mom, John will take care of you now. John, you take care of my mom. Now, keep in mind, this isn't just nice sentiment, just nice words saying, John, could you take care of her? No, this is an oath. Official transfer. The son, having the responsibility for his mother, is giving her to John, and he's adopting Mary as his mother. And we know that because if you go to the rest of verse 27, it says, what does John do? He takes her into his home. Actually, in the original, he takes her as his own. As his own. He's not just taking her home as a guest or a benevolent need. He's adopted her. She's his mom now. She's family. the official transfer has taken place. We don't know how long Mary lived after this. Many people believe she lived about 11 years, and then she followed her son. We're told in seminary, whenever you look at a passage or a text, you ask yourself, why is it here? Let's go back to those full verses 26 and 27. Let me ask you, what would be missing if this weren't included in the Bible? Would we have everything we need? Probably. But it's good every once in a while to ask yourself, even in your own personal devotions, Father, why did you have the Holy Spirit include this? Why is it here? And you ask the Father, and if you know the heart of God the Father, the heart of God the Father is this: look at my Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, God the Father wanted to make sure that these verses were included for all God's people through the rest of the ages, including for you and me. The Father saying, look at my Son. Look what he's doing. Even in his pain, he's a good example for the rest of us. Reminds me of Proverbs 23, verse 22. For those of you who like to write this down, Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she's old. I have to say my own sister was a good example of taking care of our mother. I was the oldest of seven children. We all scattered except one sister. She stayed in the Edgerton area, spent a lot of time taking care of our mother. It's a reminder for all of us. We need to care for our parents, especially as we get older. Yes, I know we all have our own issues. We have our own emotional pain, our own financial tightness, our own busyness, and we can even be hundreds of miles from home. The Father is saying, look at my Son. In his pain, he's caring for his mother. You too. But notice where he's saying this from. From the cross. Why is he there? He's there because all of us have messed up with our parents, even our mothers. Well, I maybe shouldn't say that, but I haven't come across anybody that hasn't at one time in their life said, I feel ashamed of the kinds of things I said or felt about my mother. And I don't know what kind of mother you had. A mother that maybe abandoned you? A mother that was harsh? A mother that was intrusive, making you feel guilty? And you just, especially I remember in my teenage years, just spouting some words that I hope you never have to hear. Jesus dies on the cross to take that away. And any shame or guilt that you may have, however you may have neglected your mother, whatever's haunting you from the past, Jesus died to take that away. And that's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper when he says, I come to take away your sins, not in the generic sin, but the specific sins of the way you treated your mother. He dies to take that away too. The father is also looking at his son, because Jesus isn't quite at this point going through hell, taking away our sin and guilt. Not quite yet. He's going through pain, but not through hell yet. What's he doing? He's being obedient for us. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing we see in Scripture. Is it 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 or 31? He is our righteousness. In other words, when you and I messed up, we weren't respectful. Look at what Jesus does for us. When I failed, Jesus did not fail. He was perfectly obedient for me, so that when the Father looks at me, united to Christ, he sees his Son as being perfectly obedient. And he says, John, that's the way I see you. You're connected with my wonderful Son. But now, where is Jesus now? If you don't know where he's now, you probably missed the songs that we just sang. He's ascended into heaven, seated on the glorious throne. And there you see him gloriously, full of glory, still filled with the same Holy Spirit. And Jesus from heaven shares his Holy Spirit with us. If you belong to Jesus Christ, it's this, we call this a beautiful, beautiful thing, our union with Christ. We're linked to him. And what is that bond that holds us together? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells Christ and indwells us. And Jesus from his glorious throne shares some of his heart, some of his character. And he gives us the ability, he enables, that last blank, enables or equips either one. He gives us the ability to love and care for our mothers. And even, despite bad memories, just recall the pleasant memories. And it may be that as you're suddenly interacting with your mother, for some people, it's a little bit of a tense time. But all of a sudden, you just catch yourself, before you even realize it, just saying, Mom, I love you. And you wonder, where'd that come from? You belong to Christ. I'll tell you where it came from. From Jesus himself, guiding you through his Holy Spirit. The Father, moving the Holy Spirit to move John to make sure this is included. And the Father saying, look at my son, how he cares for his mother. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for these verses. We thank you for showing us your Son. We pray that you would move within us, take away our shame and our guilt. We thank you for our mothers. We pray that you would provide any healing that needs to take place. We pray that we may go forward in your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll stand to sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus.